Let the church say amen again.
Thank you for that beautiful song, Pearl. It's good to be in God's house, amen? I know I've been gone for a while, but I wanted to take a brief moment to thank each and every one of you for remembering our family in your prayers these last couple of months. Our aunt recently passed away, and we went down and buried her in South Carolina this past Sabbath. And I want to give a special shout out to Pastor Jackson down at Berea SDA Church that we've had a great time fellowship with in Sumter, South Carolina. We had a great time down there, but my mother-in-law is here, and we just wanted to truly say thank you for all the calls, all the text messages of encouragement. Some of you all were able to come by the funeral service last Sabbath, and we were truly grateful, two Sabbaths ago, so we're truly grateful. And knowing that my church was praying for me really helped buoy us up through that tough time, amen? So I wanted to thank you all for that. Also wanted to take a moment to thank the church and the pastoral staff for coming, for interceding for my sister. For my sister Melanie, she was very, very close to death. But God worked a miracle, amen? And she's back home today. In fact, she'll be starting work on Monday. And so our God is able. No one can ever shake that from us. Our God is able. And I saw it in my own life, in my own family's life. And lastly, I just want to take a minute to publicly thank Pastor Steve, Pastor Steve Murphy, Pastor Fred, and Pastor Wright for Elder Miller at the Potomac Conference for recommending me to the Master's in Pastoral Ministry Intensive Program through Andrews University, which I've been accepted into. Amen. I just had 2 weeks of intense class work right here at the Columbia office in Columbia, Maryland, the Columbia Union office in Columbia. Church, I want you to really pray for Anthony and I. Many of you all know, once you make that official call into ministry, the lights are on, the bright lights are showing, but God is able. I don't know what else to say. My God and our God is able. And we're going to lean on him as we continue to minister for young people. I don't know what other lane he wants me in. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to serve here at Tacoma Park. The sermon title today, More Than Conquerors. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the amazing name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you today thanking and praising you for your amazing love and your grace and your mercy that showers us, just like how we've had showers of rain today, your grace and mercy shower us each and every day. And Lord, on your Sabbath day, as we come together, Lord, I pray that you and your Holy Spirit will come amongst us and speak to our hearts and minds. Give us a gem. Give us a nugget of truth and understanding that will draw us even closer to you, that we can have confidence moving forward that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A national magazine was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. Smoke at the scene hampered him, and he asked his home office to hire a plane. Arrangements were made, and he was told to go at once to a nearby airport where the plane would be waiting. When he arrived at the airport, a plane was warming near the runway. He jumped in with his equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go!" The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer, "and make 3 or 4 low-level passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," he cried the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." After a pause, the pilot said, "Wait, you mean you're not the instructor?" I was hoping for that response. Sometimes in life, it may appear on the surface that no one is in control, no one is there to give guidance through the tough times of our lives. But we have the book of Revelation, God's revealed book. And as we get into the book and as we go, open your Bibles. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Word today. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to set the groundwork for what's starting as we jump into chapter 6. So Revelation chapter 5, when you've gotten there, say amen. And we have to understand what's going on here. When you've gotten there, Revelation chapter 5, say amen. Amen. The book of Revelation goes into a galactic battle scene where John is there being completely blown away by what he's seeing, hearing, and experiencing. And I can imagine that the vision that he was having was so powerful. It was better than any 4K ultra high definition screen that we could ever have today. Maybe nowadays, and some of y'all have heard of these new theaters that they have, it's not 3D anymore, it's 4D. And I can imagine John being right in the middle of all these amazing, awesome things that he's able to see. Revelation 5 tells us that finally, Jesus, our commander-in-chief, our army general, Jesus is worthy to open the seals. So Revelation chapter 5, and I want to focus on verse 4. Verse 4, it says, and so John is seeing it. He says, and I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. See, what John was seeing and what he was understanding was that if these books weren't open, the future for God's people was over. And he was weeping because he knew that there was no future for the people of God. But what does the Bible say? In verse 5 says, and one of the elders says unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed and opened the book and loosened the 7 seals thereof. And all of a sudden, I can imagine the praise and worship leader instantly having a new song to sing, like the Bible says right there in verse 11. And behold, I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of signs, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So Jesus is now crowned. He is acknowledged as the Savior. He is acknowledged as the victor. Now he gets to go into his next phase of his ministry. He gets to go in to the next chapter of him interceding and becoming our high priest. So now as we go into Revelation chapter 6, we go into Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1 says, and I heard and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sits on him had a bow and a crown that was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is a powerful verse in the Bible. This starts as the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Right here, the first horse bolts out of the gates. Church, our enemy, the devil, is on a warpath, desiring to defeat each and every one of us, especially our young people. Church, I want you to hear me today. There's no such thing as at-risk youth. We may think, because they're from the inner city, or they're surrounded with gangs, and they have low income, that they're more susceptible to trouble and in more need of help. I want to say today that spiritually, every one of our young people are at risk. Every single one of them, especially in the light of technology. In the light of technology, our young people are under such a sophisticated, diabolical almost, attack right there on our cell phones. Listen, I work for PG County Public Schools as IT. I've been doing this for the last 14 years. And what they recently sent out an article, and I'm going to read it for you here. And it was so impactful. I said, wow, even the public schools realize the dangers of some of these apps that are on these phones. Listen, there's and they said it's 15 apps, 15 dangerous apps that every parent should know about. And if you want, email me and I'll forward this right to you. I'll send it to you. This is important. Parents, you got to speak out of knowledge and information instead of out of ignorance to our young people. Very important. Don't just say something out of random thin air. Have your facts to go along with them. They can be mad. That's okay. They're going to get upset. But parents aren't supposed to be their friends. Anyways, I'll say amen. Parents, I'm going to get on to you a little bit this morning. Because it's important that you have knowledge. So when you are guiding and molding and shaping your young person, you come with facts and figures so that they understand, even if they don't agree, they'll understand where you're coming from. And this is 15 dangerous apps every parent should know. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm just going to focus on a couple of them. And see, some young adults get caught up into this stuff too. Tinder. What is it? It's an app used to find dates and hookups using GPS tracking. Why is it bad? It's easy for adults and minors to find each other, and the rating system can be used for bullying. Church, I want you to understand, it's important that we speak life and encouragement and positive things to our young people so they won't run to the internet and run to these apps for validation and feeling good about themselves. They should get it from home and not some app on a phone. Very important. Snapchat. Now again, parents, we got to come with knowledge now. I want you to understand that you should download it yourself and check it out now. Not because not all the young people are doing this stuff, but it's going on. Okay? What is Snapchat? A photo sharing app that allows users to send photos to specific people, assigning the photos an allotted time, after which they will disappear. Why is that bad? It's very popular for sexting. Users have figured out how to have or save screenshots of the images so that they aren't really gone and can be used to send later for revenge porn, is what they call it, or other nefarious purposes. So you think it's gone? No. The last one I'm going to talk about is Kick. What is it? An instant messaging app that allows sending of videos, pics, and GIFs. Why is it bad? Again, very popular for sexting. There is no parental controls or authenticating, it's really easy for predators to find out your child on Kick. And see what the real diabolical, the real sophisticated part of the enemy? See, young people think it's another 14 or 15-year-old on the other side of that message that you send. How many of y'all know it's real predators out there being manipulated and used by the devil to attack our children? Parents, never stop praying for your children. I mean, never. They shouldn't walk, they shouldn't exit your house without you praying for them every morning and every day that they come home at night. We have no clue the attack that they're under. A lot of us. I've been doing this for a long time. I still don't know all this stuff. We have got to pray. And we got to know that our young people are under a spiritual attack. Now, if anybody you know me, I love technology. People have shoes, they like cars and clothes. My wife put all this together. I didn't even bother going. It's too stressful. Going to the store and trying to find a suit that fits is too stressful. I'm done. So I just send her, and she blesses and take care of me. Amen? Amen. So I love technology, and I use it every day. But there's dangers with the technology that our young people are using, our young adults are using, our adults are using. Because it can have you slide and go down a path, thank you, it could have you slide and go down a path of things you never thought you'd see. Never. And it just pops right up. And they sharing it back and forth, just for the shock value almost. So back to the Word of God. So again, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 says that the church, this is the church, this first beast of the four beasts, the first horse of the four horsemen of Revelation of the apocalypse, a lot of, that's been popularly described as these first four horses. This first horse represents the church immediately after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? So Jesus begins his mission now. He begins his mission now. Remember, he's opening the scrolls. He's opened the first seal now. He's opened the first seal, and immediately he sends out, the first horse goes out, the white horse, which represents purity. It also represents, and so the white horse comes out. The white of the horse represents purity of God's church. Amen. So, and then he also has a crown, which dictates royalty. And then the horse itself, primarily used in a military situations. So we need to understand that the book of Revelation is revealing to us and explaining to us that it's a spiritual battle going on all throughout of history. So it starts out beginning with God's people right after Jesus rose again and went to heaven. God's people, how God was beginning to use them to go out and reach the entire world to share the gospel of a risen Lord. So now, and he also has a bow. A bow in the Bible represents the word of God. And let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2, and let's talk about a good example of what this horse represents in history. And we see from the Word of God that it explains exactly what was going on there during this time frame. So Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to jump down to verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. When you've gotten there, say amen. So Acts chapter 2, we there, amen? Verse 41. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Incredible. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all they that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as much as should be saved. This is incredible. This is representing God's church with purity and power. Look at what was going on. Everybody was on the same page. They were willing to sell what they had to buy and purchase for others. I wonder if that could happen in 2016. I wonder if we would be that willing to even spend time and to go and take time and to fellowship with one another at our homes. This snapshot of God's church, I mean, they were doing awesome things. And fear came among every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And I'm going to get to this later, but where are signs and wonders? How come God is not doing the same thing he did back then in Acts chapter 2 now? The main point of this sermon today is God in these last days calls his church to be more than conquerors, pure and powerful, from victory to victory, from person to person. God is calling us to be reflections of the same church, the same attitude that the church in Acts chapter 2 had, that of purity and of power. And at the end of Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says that the horse went forth conquering and to conquer. That word conquer in the Greek. That word conquer in the Greek, first the dictionary definition says to gain a victory, mastery, or overcome. Okay? So when they were conquering, they were to go out and to gain the victory over, to master and to overcome. In the Greek, this is pretty amazing. In the Greek, the word is nikeo, which also means to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. Where a very popular shoe brand got its name. Anybody know which one? Nike. It's the same Greek word that they got it from. So now when you see, I love wearing Nikes, and I really enjoy them. Now I got to look and say, man, do I have the victory? I gotta look and see, do I got the victory? Young people, this is an object lesson, but I want you to understand where I'm really going with this. Because we wear it on our feet, but do we have it in our heart? So as we again, Tacoma Park, we need to understand and realize that God is calling us to have power and purity in these last days. We need to display and reflect God and his Holy Spirit as we go out and minister and serve with purity and with power. Also showing that as the horse went forth, he went forth conquering and to conquer. God is calling us to do the same, to go forward and to conquer. What does it mean to conquer? What does it mean to conquer? Again, that same word, to overcome, to go forward. Now, again, and I'm going to give four ways on how we not only conquer, but become more than conquerors. So four ways. So number one is in prayer. The Bible says, listen, go Revelation, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to do a quick Bible study about how we can be not only conquerors, but more than conquerors. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We need to not only be able to pray for ourselves and know that God hears us, but to be more than conquerors through prayer is when we can intercede on someone else's behalf and God hears our prayer for them. In service, we need to get to the place where we can serve others, and others are inspired by how loving we are, how giving we are, how dedicated we are to the cause of God and to the church of God, and they want to join and help us accomplish our goals as well. When we could go and serve in a community, then all of a sudden we start with 20, we start with 30, we go with Elder Reggie, and we go out into the community, we start with 20 or 30, but all of a sudden we come back with 60 to 90. That's how we can become more than overcomers through service. Now again, and then we can become more than overcomers, more than conquerors, through study of God's word, where we can not only start studying the word and getting understanding for ourselves, but we can turn around and have our own Bible study at our home and invite other people, invite our friends and neighbors to come and learn what God has revealed to us. These are the next steps in our opportunity to be able to not only conquer, to be more than conquerors. And this is what I wanted to really highlight. This is what I wanted to really highlight. And in worship, we need to be more than conquerors in worship. Again, when we come to worship, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And Psalm 100 says, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let me read this so I can get it clear. Psalm 100 jumps out and it calls us to do this thing here. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness to him that has obeyed. Make a joyful noise, verse 4, in all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. See, what we don't understand is that as Jesus went to glory, to heaven, he stepped into his priestly role. And what we really need to really focus on, church, and we need to make sure we don't come in church, come in on Sabbath morning, and not have a song of praise in our hearts. This is very important. This is critical to our relationship with God. Because when we walk in sad and despondent, no joy, no love, no excitement, no appreciation for what God has done, when we have, like we've been sucking, like how Pastor Mavrakos used to say, people used to walk in like they were sucking lemons. Like, isn't God alive? You would think that God is dead and that they're just going. So it's like, what are you really doing here? But what we need to understand was that during the sanctuary service, the sanctuary was always placed, again, the Bible says, the Bible says, God says, when he told Moses, make us a sanctuary, make them a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Okay, so they make the sanctuary, and what would happen is they would place the sanctuary in the middle, and what they would do is they would have each of the tribes of God's people placed strategically around all four corners of the sanctuary. And when people would come up and give their offering, give their sacrifice into the sanctuary, all four sections of the tribes of Israel would sing and would praise God, and they would go through and have all kind of different parts and voices, but it would shout. So it would be like a group of people over here, a group of people over here, a group of people over here and in the back. And what they would do all through the day, they would sing praises, and they would be all on the same page, and the Levites would be leading them, and it would be all kind of joy and singing and shouts and celebration all day, every day. Thank you, Lord. My sins are forgiven. I'm free. And they would be singing and joy all throughout the day. This is what they would do back then, but we've lost all of that. A lot of us have lost all of that. We don't come in. See, what we need to understand is that God, Jesus as our high priest, he has gotten to the point, and we need to really focus on this. God is more desperate to save you than you are to be saved. We need to really appreciate that. And so the whole investigative judgment and some Adventists, we read this and we think, man, I'm scared. Man, did I get all my sins forgiven? Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Am I one of the 144,000? I don't know. I'm scared. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to come in here, and what God is doing, Jesus Christ is not only our high priest, but he's our defense attorney. And when we go into the court, the defense attorney tells us, don't, in the world's court, they tell us don't say anything. But in God's court, we can say, we can say that we are not guilty. So every time we come into church, we should walk in praising and thanking God. I'm not guilty. Oh my goodness, this is exciting to me. As we close, God is using our youth department. I'm thankful for Cecil and his ministry, and we're working together, and I'm thankful for Encito, Tara, and Antonay, and Tashilia, and Tony and Tiana. I don't see everybody here today, but that's all right. We're working together. So, like, we have a New Life baptismal class, and now I want to start a new discipleship class. So not only do young people get excited and get baptized in this pool here, but they turn around and become morning conquerors. Not only are they satisfied with them getting baptized, but they want their friends and neighbors to get baptized too. So we're going to teach them through this discipleship class how to do a Bible study, how to witness and share their testimony, how to talk to people about God in a way that's not beating them down, but it's showing the love that we have for them. So that not only can they overcome and have the victory, but they can turn around and bless others, that everybody can have the victory together with them. That's what God's church is all about. How else do you think it grew to 3,000 in one day? It wasn't just Peter preaching only, but it was people saying, y'all need to come and hear what this brother is preaching. And they were so excited. They were so excited they couldn't wait to tell friends and family about what our new and resurrected Savior. So the Bible says that this happened day after day. God added to the church as much that should be saved. See, we could go with confidence. As I wrap up here, we could go with confidence. The Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That word power in the Greek comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. The gospel of Jesus Christ has dynamic, explosive power. That way, it not only, when something explodes, if someone would explode in the middle of this church, it would not only hit me, but it would hit everybody. That's what the gospel's to do. Once God changes your heart, it's supposed to be explosive, and it's supposed to go out to everybody who is in contact with you. That's how we conquer and become more than conquerors. God is looking for his church now in 2016 to have the same explosive, exponential power as the time in the book of Acts. The Bible says, again, in Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him. Again, that same word is conquer, right there in the Greek. They overcame him. They conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Church, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Not first question is, am I a conqueror? Are there still sins in my life that God needs to help me gain the victory over? And because I have the victory, I'm not satisfied with me only having the victory. Now I can turn around with confidence and with the assurity that God is with me and he's given me the clear victory. I can go and share and help others. You can mentor and encourage other people that don't have what you have. See, that's what this church should be all about. They should want what we have. Yeah. Our elders are already starting to fast and pray for our revival coming up. Where Pastor Kelly is coming from California. The question is, when you come and be part of that revival, which I encourage every one of you to come. Are you coming in as needed to have victory in your life? You have victory, and God needs you to be more than a conqueror now and go and win others to him. Invite others to be part of that revival. And just like if you haven't got one already, I know God has put a name on your heart. And I want you to fill out the forms that the deacons have and they've handed out earlier. And I'm sure you can get one during the offering appeal. So that you can start praying now for someone that you want to have part of that revival. So you might not be ready to do the Bible study and to teach and preach them and win them to Christ directly. But you can invite them to come. April 17th, the first night. Church, it's time for God to go back to the old school. The primitive godliness of what Ellen White talks a lot about, where we can win souls for Christ. And we're not satisfied with us having salvation, but we want to turn around and have it for others. I don't know if there's anybody that can play for me, but I'm going to just wrap this up. I have one story I want to share as we close. A boxer fought hard and won a prize in a boxing match. He went home and gave his prize to his wife. His wife was more than a conqueror. She got all the benefits, but did none of the painful work. In a way, this is a great truth of the gospel of salvation. Jesus suffered and died on a cross and then resurrected for our redemption. So Jesus, he conquered, and all we have to do is accept the title, accept the championship trophy, as though we won it, but didn't have to go through the dying on the cross. If there's anyone here that knows that it's time for them to be a conqueror in their life, I want to invite you to come forward as we pray. Let's bow our heads together, church. I just want to make an appeal to anybody that's under the sound of my voice that says, I've been wrestling with this thing and it's been holding me down. It's been a ball and chain to my life for years and years and years. And God wants me to get the victory today. He wants me to be more than a conqueror today. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come forward. You want us to pray with you so that you can learn how to overcome, just like the old disciples and people of God back in the book of Acts. If there's one today, I want to just invite you forward. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to get rid of, and you need prayer. You don't know how to do it. You're powerless. This thing has gotten has beat you down for long enough, and it's time to get the victory today. Is there one? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And the last part.